I will turn the meeting over to Amy D. Amy, welcome tonight. We thank you for being here. And you're on, yeah.
Hi, good evening, everyone. My name's Amy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for asking me. You know, my heart's beating right now, and so I'm a little nervous. I do have something I want to share. Oh, can I share on the screen? Can someone let me share?
Sure. I think you got share screen.
Can you enable my sharing? I should have asked that before the meeting.
Neil, are you the Zoom guru?
Well, while you're figuring that out, did you get it? Oh, good.
You're assigned as a co-host, so you can go ahead and share now.
Okay. So I wanted to start with step 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Brotherly love, in other words, is the spiritual principle of step 8, and it means to be in relationship with others. I've included here the biblical truth scripture look up. So there's a bunch of scriptures that I looked at that you can look up in the Bible. A lot of you may or may not be aware of the AA steps. You may not be aware of the Bible. Welcome to Joy of the Lord. I'm seeing everyone that's here tonight. I think there's no newcomers. So a lot of you have been through, probably through a truth teaching. The 8th month is about step 8. So tonight I want to talk to you. I'm going to bring in a story from the Bible. It's in Joshua 6 and 7. It's the story of Ai and Achan and how he sinned against his community and against the Lord. And I'm going to give you my practical application to the story. And then we're going to put practical application into doing step 8. So it's going to start with conquering the promised land. I'm going to read this to you. After crossing the Jordan River, the Israelites began to conquer Canaan. Jericho is the first to fall. Then Israel suffers the first defeat because of one man's disobedience. After the people remove the sin from their community, they strike again, this time with success. Soon great kings attack from the north and the south, but they are defeated because God is with Israel. Evil could not be tolerated in the promised land, nor can it be tolerated in our lives. We, like Israel, must ruthlessly remove sin from our lives before it takes control of us. First of all, I like to liken the fact that they've now entered the promised land. I, like in my recovery, I've just entered the promised land. I was in slavery to my sin and slavery to the human condition. I was in slavery to alcohol and drugs. And I've now crossed into the promised land. Steps 1 through 3, I think I'll let him. I found out that I had a problem. I found a power greater than myself. I found some hope. Then I uncovered, discovered, discarded. Step 4, things that I was resentful at. I found somebody to share that with another person, myself, and with God. It's very interesting how 6 and 7 come after that. And if we think about Jericho as the first land that the Israelites came to, and they had to march around that place 7 times until the walls came tumbling down. I like to think of 6 and 7 as I had to march around my character defects 6 or 7 times, you know, for the walls to come down until I could actually gain some humility, until I could actually gain some objectivity, where I could actually be able to give it back to God, my character defects and my human condition. Very interesting. I want to go into what happened when the Israelites got to Ai. So Joshua said, let me get to the battle of Ai. So Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near the east of Bethel, and he told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went out and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the people will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men and don't worry all the people, for there's only a few men that are there. So about 3,000 men went up, and they were routed by the men of Ai. In fact, they were demolished. They were not successful in their battle. So I'm still in my recovery. I'm at step 7. I've just gained some humility and some objectivity about myself, and I'm working on my character defects. Yet I haven't quite taken stock in what my emotional deformities are. Here's what happens. Joshua tore his clothes and he fell face down on the ground before the ark of the Lord, and he remained there. He says, Lord, what can I say? Why have my enemies defeated us? The Lord says to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing on your face? Israel has sinned. They have taken some of the devoted things they have stolen. They have lied. They have put them on their own possessions. What happened after Jericho is there was items that were taken in the plunder that were supposed to be given back to the Lord. So I realized I had some things that God had given me, some revelation about myself, and I was to give it back to the Lord and not just sit on it like in step seven. You don't just sit, don't just stay there and rest on my laurels. I needed to actually give that back to God. That, to me, that was plunder. I gained some great revelation about myself and was able to get right with the people in my community, but share those things with God and with another person. And what happened is Achan had taken some of that plunder. He had hidden it. He had taken it for his tent and hidden it in there. And God said to Joshua, he said, go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord says. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove it. Very interesting in step eight that I need to make restitutions for the things that I've done. I need to admit my sins. I need to learn how to forgive. I need to learn how to look at my recurrent behavior in my life. I would fast forward to the story where Achan says, it's true. He gets really honest. He says, it's true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel, and this is what I've done. And he tells the community, he gets right and he tells on himself. I'm going to talk about how Achan was responsible, but we don't know. Achan came from slavery. He came from Egypt. He came from before he came to the promised land. We don't know what his traumas were. We don't know what his problems were. I can tell you what mine were. You know, I was a liar, a cheat, and a thief. I did all kinds of things to get what I needed to do. And I don't know if Achan had those seven step where he was afraid he wasn't going to get what he needed, or he's afraid he was going to lose what he had. I don't know. But he rationalized his behavior, saving those things from, you know, saving the plunder and hiding it. We do know that it had a ripple effect in his community, that he didn't respect what was other people's and what was theirs, and he hid it. He knew right from wrong, but there was that ripple effect where they didn't get the victory. I want victory in my life, and I want to realize that my behavior affects other people, that I have this... Someone just entered the waiting room. I have this fundamental deformities, and a lot of people would call those character defects. I also want to call it, have this perception, dis-ease between my ears. I have this askew perception, and I can remember back from early on that I viewed things differently. I just had a different way of seeing things and rationalizing my behavior. I had a different way. I saw someone cross the street, I would have a story. Someone had crossed the street because they'd robbed a bank and they're running across the street. They were doing something wrong. So I always had this negative slant towards everything that ever happened. And it's the way in which I viewed the world. So you combine that with any kind of trauma or any kind of, so I call that my alcoholism or my addiction. Some people would call it the human condition, but I also had character defects. I want to read something that came from the 12 and 12, and it said, very deep, sometimes quite forgotten, damaging emotional conflicts persist below the level of consciousness. At the time of these occurrences, they may have actually given our emotions violent twists, which have since discolored our personalities and altered our lives for the worse. I feel like my relationship with people, my relationship with God, my ability to be authentic, my ability to be who I am has shifted throughout the years until I got to Joy of the Lord, until I got to know Christ better, until I had this intimate, authentic relationship with God. I couldn't even have an honest relationship with God because I hadn't done the work. I hadn't dug deep and admitted to anyone. I didn't even know I had plundered. I didn't know I had plundered any of life's treasures. I didn't know that I had plundered all those things and had twisted it in the wrong type of way, that I was afraid I wasn't going to get mine, that I was afraid I was going to lose what I had. I didn't know I was doing that. I didn't know that my character defects with all my social, my instincts had gone crazy. So when I came to step eight and I needed to make a list of all the people that I had harmed, I had to go through those first seven steps first. I had to do that work in order to get to a level of humility that says, oh, maybe you need some more work, and maybe now we can ask for forgiveness. There's this special spiritual order that comes with knowing God. I liken it to a water pipe. You know, I've just now gotten the water clean, and I've just now made contact with God and found out that something greater than myself, which is Jesus Christ in these rooms, can save me and has saved me and cares for me and wants to make me righteous and wants to help me to grow up, to help me mature, not only in the likeness of my Creator, but to help me to get along with everybody else on the planet or with everyone I come in contact with. You know, and I personally want to be God's hands and feet. I personally want to, you never know, I may be the only big book people see. I may be the only Bible they ever open. I don't know. But I know if I have an emotional conflict, if I am bedeviled with like some sick emotions and sick character defects, and I'm walking around with a chip on my shoulder and I'm hiding sin, then it's just going to be this evil corroding thread. It's just going to be this ripple effect into everyone I come in contact with. I don't know if anybody's ever had, you walk into a room and someone just, it's like you meet someone and it's like they automatically hate you and you don't know why. It's called instincts in collision. And so, when I heard that we have instincts in collisions and that people are also having a tough time of it, you know, I can't fix what's going on with you. I can't tell what's going on with you, but I can do an examination of myself. So I need to find out what my fundamental difficulties are. And when I mean fundamental, it means deep-seated. You know, someone said to me once, it says, it's what I know. You don't know what you don't know. So I think what was the greatest for me is that once I started doing the work, I didn't know that I was harming anyone. I thought I was just harming myself. And those that I did harm, I rationalized that behavior. And sometimes, I mean, unintentional sin is the worst of all because we don't know that our behavior is affecting others. But once we find out that we have sinned, we're responsible to make that right. I mean, I think there's a fundamental part of every human being that knows right from wrong. But when I was reading some of this stuff about unintentional sin, it hit me that people that have done me wrong as well maybe did it unintentionally. I never realized that, you know, that those instincts in collision that everyone is faced with unintentional sin and rationalized behavior. Everyone is faced with these fundamental difficulties and these things that are wrong. I mean, Achan wasn't the only person, just in this story, he was the only person who hid the plunder. But I can tell you, I've done it my whole life. I've hidden things from people, from my family, from those that I care about the most. And when I began to find out what harms I actually caused people, that's when it began to change. If I could look at it objectively, that's when it began to morph inside me, in my spirit. And that's when, you know, when you do those prayers, it's search me, O Lord, in Psalm 139, search me, O Lord, and know, you know, show me in a way that's not right. It's to shed light into the darkness. There's countless places in the Bible, and I mean, I could talk all day long on all the different scriptures and give you addresses in the Bible of where to find where God says to look at our behavior and to confess our faults to one another. I mean, it's all over the Bible, and it's all over our big book. Let's go back to the harms. I want to read that at the 12 and 12 because it's important to say what kind of harms that we've caused people. To define the word harm in a practical way, we might call it the results of instinct and collision, which we've talked about, which cause physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual damage to people. I mean, I think just to find out about the harms that we cause people, and when you go into physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual damage, I had to dig deeper to find out what those things meant. Like, what is spiritual damage? I mean, how is anybody, like, I took gossiping. That was part of my eighth step. I said, well, I gossiped about my sister. And it was very interesting. And she didn't know I gossiped about her. She didn't know I said anything about her. And I asked God, show me what a way in me that isn't. I said the prayer, and the next day I walked in to a place where I walked into where three people were discussing me before I walked in the building. And I actually got to feel what it felt like, the spiritual muck that got on me. I walked in the room and it felt like someone had just doused me with a bunch of poo. You know, it felt like I felt the damage that it causes somebody, even if they are unaware of it. Even when people aren't aware of what you've done, it does harm them. Somewhere in the spirit realm, it can damage them. But I think it also spiritually damages me when I was gossiping. You know, it separates me from God. It's like that pipeline. I've just started to make effort on the clog that's clogging the pipes between me and God. You know, and Christ is the spiritual Drano. Christ is the thing that's going to clear that clog out, but not without my agreement, not without me spending time with God, asking God what I need to do. And I need to be vulnerable and authentic. That means I want to be able to talk to God being who I am and not being afraid of who I am and who God has intended me to be. I need to be humble. I have the humility. I have to accept that God loves me. And I don't know about you guys. I have a lot of trouble with acceptance that God loved me. I was brought up that God does things for a reason, and sometimes I feel like they're damning things that happen. I never quite understood, and I learn in the rooms that I don't have to totally understand God or what God's doing, because God doesn't think like I do. His ways are higher than my ways, just the heavens are higher than mine, that God doesn't think like I do. And isn't that wonderful that he doesn't? Because God help us all if God thought the way I did. I mean, God didn't think that a drink would make things better. He thought Christ would make things better, which is pretty awesome. God wants me to be responsible, to have integrity, and to be accountable and honest. And so when I walk through doing the eighth step, when I walk through talking about the sin that I've and the harm that I've caused others, I have to walk through, even when I'm fear of discouragement, even when I have the fear of rejection, even when there's grief that overcomes me, you know, and bitterness. I'm going to tell a story of what happened this weekend. And it's I went down south to take care of my mom. And she's an alcoholic addict. And she's old, and she is not in recovery. She uses God. She's very religious. And I had a meeting that I was sharing the 11th step on, and she told me she wanted to be in the meeting, she wanted to be a part of, and she was going to listen. And her phone began to ring, and it rang, and it rang, and it rang. And she's looking at this, and I'm on speaker, and I'm in the middle of my chair. And she answers the phone and starts to talk, and then my sister takes her away. And she comes back during the meeting and still talks. And I put up a boundary. I said, Mom, I got to listen to the rest of this meeting. I want to listen to this. When the meeting was over, my brother-in-law stood up and he goes, "Gosh, Mom, that was really disappointing. That was, Amy was talking and you really interrupted her when she was talking." And my mom blurts out, "Well, God told me to take that call. I don't know why God always puts me in the middle of things, but he told me to take that call." And I think that's the type of God that I grew up with. And I've always made, I've always believed everything that was told to me. It was very interesting how I'm doing, we're talking about step eight, and how I can look at these events that has since discolored my personality from the very beginning of my youth. That went back, and the eighth step says, go back as far as you can remember so that you can review and get to the fundamental deformities that has caused these character defects. And the best part about what came out of that is that I get to realize that I can't change the behavior of other people. And it was very interesting. I realized that I had a part in all of that because I was expecting my mom to behave differently, different than she's ever acted before. So I have a part in that is expecting her to have this different behavior than what she's ever had. And so I have a fear of discouragement when I go to the eighth step. I have a fear of rejection and abandonment. And I'm always afraid that there will be that rejection when I start to make this list. I mean, it kept me from doing a list, an eight step list. So I had to give it an effort. And when I give it an effort, I had to look at what the seven deadly sins were. I'm taking a lot of information from my uncovering, discovering, and discarding. And, you know, and I, this might be different from other truth teachings in the past. It's not, I mean, it all comes from the Bible. It all is, you know, basic instructions before leaving Earth. It all comes from the Bible, and it all, you know, and it's always an order that God gives us. He always lets us look at what things are in which order in which we need to do it. And like I gave you an example of my mom, but let me just break it down even further. It's like my employer, I continuously took a longer break at work. I've always, you know, I did that even in early recovery. I would take long breaks because I wanted to smoke my cigarettes longer. And what was the harm? Well, I robbed my boss of trust. I stole hours. I think about it, fellow coworkers had to work longer without their break because I was taking this longer break. And then I had to see, why did I do that? Well, I had lack of integrity. I was selfish. I felt entitled. I was inconsiderate. I had sloth and gluttony. I had to look at all of those. And something as simple as taking a longer break, but it caused a lot of harm, and it harmed a lot of people, you know, when I went to do my eighth step, I maybe had like five people that I thought that I had harmed. Sure. And my sponsor had told me, and it was such a wonderful thing. She said, well, ask God what that looks like. Because in our literature, it says it may take a lifetime to correct some of these, you know, to make these amends and to correct some of these harms that we've done. And that everyone I've ever come in contact with, I was that common denominator, and I'm the one that, if there was a problem in the relationship, I can only look at my side, but I can tell you my side was riddled with some scars and the things that I did. So I'm only gonna talk for 20 minutes. So I want to talk about what's in it for me. I mean, a lot of people don't want to do, when someone says, you know, start at the beginning of the Bible and start to read, and see if you can find yourself in the Bible, like you should read it three times. I'm like, man, the Bible's pretty big. I don't know if I can read it. I can read it three times. And they say, read the story three times. You can find yourself in the story, read it for application, and then read it again as just a story. And I found myself in a lot in this battle of AI and Aikensin. I found myself in that story, and I found what was wrong, but I still didn't want to do the work. I still wanted to, you know, rationalize my behavior. So if it wasn't because of everybody else doing me wrong, if it wasn't because my mom did me wrong, I wouldn't be the way I am today. I mean, and if I had proof of that, it would have been this weekend when she totally disregarded me. But that had nothing, that I have to be responsible and make a decision. When am I going to do something different in my life? When am I actually going to do the work? When am I ever, and I want to get right with God. I want to be right with God, with others, with myself. And there's an order to all of that. And I want to talk about what's in it for me. There's the forgiveness of self. I'm able to receive and accept forgiveness. There's mercy and there's grace. There's undeserved favor, and then there's God gives me mercy to forgive me, even when I don't deserve it. I'm able to hear better from heaven, the spiritual Drano. Christ is my spiritual Drano. He helps me to learn forgive because he first forgives. And it's so interesting. I love, there's a book by, what's his name? It's Total Forgiveness. I just forgot his name. It left me. I'll let you know in a minute. But the book is called Total Forgiveness. And he talks about on the level, let me stop sharing. He talks about on a level of 1 to 5, only God reaches level 5 forgiveness. And he talks about how we as human beings, maybe if we're on at this spiritual plane and we've reached this amazing place of Christ awareness, of God awareness, God consciousness, we might get to level 3. You know why we get to level 3 and God has level 5? Because I really seriously doubt that Christ is, now and that he's off the cross and he's up in heaven right beside the Father, he doesn't say, hey, you know what, God? Amy did this 5 years ago. Amy tripped her little brother at age 5. God doesn't tell anybody of our sin. In fact, he forgives us and lets it go. I don't know about you guys, I get historical. I may have forgiven you, but if you wrong me again, I'm saying, remember that time when you were... I always bring back the history. I get historical. I don't get hysterical. I get historical, and all bets are off, and I'm going to have to make another amends because I'm going to be reminding you of your sin. So what's wonderful about step 8 is that I get into this place where I learn how to forgive. Like, what's in it for me is I not only learn how to forgive because Christ first forgave me, but I can forgive myself. And I don't have to keep beating myself up with this bat, with the past. And it places me in a place where I can actually receive forgiveness. I mean, I don't know how many times I've made amends to my son. And because I have, I mean, there's... I don't know about anybody else who has children or if they have significant others or spouse, those people that mean the most to you, those people that are like your core group of people, and you've wronged them. And I didn't just wrong him once. I wronged him many years in a row. I've wronged him from the very beginning. And sometimes I see behaviors that he does, and I immediately take out that bat of unforgiveness. Like, this is why he acts this way. This is why he's that way. Or I'll walk on eggshells because I still have unforgiveness of self. And so it is a lifelong process. It's a lifelong process in order to, God bless America, to right these relationships, to have authentic, vulnerable, humble relationship interactions with the people that we love. For the longest time I said I know whenever I was talking to somebody. And I had such a lack of humility when someone would be trying to make amends to me, or I'd try to make amends to them. I'd be like, yeah, I know. And it throws the whole thing off. I wasn't reaping any of the benefits because I wasn't listening. I wasn't listening to what God was speaking to me, what the Bible has instructed me to do, what truly making restitution is all about, what truly recognizing the harms I've caused people, what truly is my objective look at my humanity. I gotta look back at my screen. There's also that victory that we get over our character defects. I know the book says that we're not white as snow, and that God uses our character defects and our humanity because we're in relationship with all human, the human race. You know I am a spiritual being, have a human experience, so I need to get in touch with the spirit first. But no matter what, I'm still living on this planet, and I have to, I mean, God isn't going to make me perfect and have my family member not perfect. We're both going to have our character defects, but he is going to give me victory so that I can find some comfort. I can find unconditional love. I can be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. You know, these fruits, first fruits that we receive from working the steps 1 through 7. What's going on? Oh. These first fruits that we get from working step 8 is just scratching the surface. What's going on? Are just scratching the surface of what we get to do in right relationship with God and with others. I don't know. I think the most important thing that I can glean from step 8 is when I go to the part where I says, it says, when I realized that consequences for my action wasn't necessarily a bad thing. I found that accountability was a necessary element for healthy living, that if I knew all along to do different, I would have already been doing it. I mean, I used to think that consequences were a bad thing. Like, I mean, if I did something, like Aiken did something, and his consequences were, he had to admit to, his consequences were a little harsh. I mean, they stoned him and burned him at the edge of the camp. But we don't have to be like that. We have the throne of grace. We've had Christ who died for our sins. And so we don't have to be stoned and burnt at the edge of our camp. We can actually make amends and get right with God. And which is even more effective when we've cleared the, when we've cleared that spiritual pipe, right? And now we have a directed pipeline to Christ where our prayers are more effective. I'm not saying that our desperate prayers that weren't heard and that our prayers aren't heard, but I think that we're more in line with knowing what God's will is for us and the power to carry that out. I think that we, once we do this 8th step, that we are better equipped and better prepared to make those 9 steps, amends. And I think the best thing ever is to be emotionally mature. We get to grow up, grow through, and come to a higher, wider, deeper relationship with God. And with, not only with God, but with myself and with others. It's the very essence of step 8. Brotherly love brought a whole new sense of belonging that I never even thought possible. You know, yesterday after that meeting with my mom, it wasn't, and I realized it wasn't my mom's behavior that threw me off. It was the sound of the phone. And that can only come through doing amends and knowing who I am in Christ, knowing who Christ is. Let me put this out there. I don't know all there is to know about Christ. I don't think I ever will until I get to meet him face to face. But I do know one thing. He has shown me his glory over and over and over again. He goes before me. He goes behind me. He's always present. And I have this sense of presence, the sense of belonging, the sense of forgiveness, the sense of love that I can only get from knowing the attributes of Christ and from reading the Bible and from doing the work. I can't get it by osmosis. Just reading the Bible is great. It gives me application, but I got to do the work. I have to do the work. And I have found that once I marched around the walls of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, there's so much more to do. And that there, if I wanted victories in every battle from my enemies, and my enemies are come in many different shapes and forms. My enemies come in my thoughts. My enemies come in working too much. My enemies comes in the form of pride, successes come in the form of love, comfort, peace, joy, kindness, all the fruits of the spirit. That's what my successes and my victories look like. And it's not always what I thought. The situation isn't always going to be what I thought it was supposed to look like. But it most always is the outcome that God wanted for me to grow me up. You know, and that emotional maturity speaks volumes compared to what it used to be like. God's not done with me. Eighth step is not being done with your work. The spiritual principle is brotherly love, and it's about relationship building. And if you're still breathing air and you're still on this planet, there's plenty of relationships to rebuild, plenty of relationships to build, and a deeper meaning and a deeper relationship with Christ. You know, when I was little, I knew that he died on the cross, and I knew that, you know, he rose from the dead. But to me, he was always someone that I, you know, couldn't really talk to, that I couldn't be authentic with. I mean, for the longest time, I tried to manipulate God. I don't have to do that today. I know who I am in Christ. I know I'm forgiven. I know that God's going to make me righteous. And then in God's eyes, I'm already done. And he don't tell anybody about my sin. And so if I want to emulate Christ, I'm going to have to learn to do those things. For the moment, though, I have to be okay with being who Amy is. And that's okay. I hope that I'm going to cut it. I guess I'm going to be a little bit short, but I just wanted to know to just reiterate the absolute benefits that you get from doing step eight. And it's about the forgiveness. It's about a sense of belonging. It's about that unconditional love that you can receive and give. How am I supposed to be able to give love unless I've received it and be able to accept it? And those are huge spiritual principles that go along with every step in that we've learned in the AA book, in the literature, and in the Bible. I just want to thank you all for letting me share what I know about the eighth step and about the spiritual principle of brotherly love. Thanks for having me, and that's all I've got tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. That was a lot of great information. I appreciate your share there.